everyone, and welcome to the first annual International Creative Arts Therapies Teleconference. And I am Laura Dessauer, the Creativity Queen, and I'm truly honored that you are joining us live or via the recording to listen in and be a part of this international teleconference. And a big warm welcome to our listeners from across the globe, all of our friends who may be out there listening late in Australia, those folks who are listening from Canada. We've got folks from Spain and Hong Kong and Mexico City and all across the United States. So welcome. And before I introduce the speaker, I just want to make sure that you continue to have access to all the information that you need to make your teleconference experience easy and effortless and enjoyable. So there are handouts today for the presentation. However, they're not necessary in order to follow along. So if you'd like this information, it's supplemental information, and Deborah has generously agreed to share some handouts with you. To access that, you can go to www.icatconference.com/speakers. Again, it's www.icatconference.com/speakers. Go down to Deborah's presentation. You will be able to click on the link that will allow you to listen to the presentation live via the web. And when you click there, there will be two handouts that you can access. And, of course, we're continuing the dialogue on Facebook. You can join my Facebook fan page. Deborah has a fan page as well. And you can continue the conversation and the dialogue on Facebook. Or if you're part of the International Association for Therapists in Private Practice, I encourage you to come on in and join us. You can hang out in the Creativity Studio. And if you have any questions, you can post them there. Our presenters will be joining us and can certainly browse around and answer any questions that may come up. And we will have this presentation flow in the sense that there'll be opportunities to ask questions. So if you're listening via the web, all you have to do is type in on the question and answer box any questions that come up, and when appropriate, we will ask that and have the feedback from our presenter. So let us hop on to our presentation now that we've got the formalities out of the way. Today's presentation is Drawing Out Your Soul, the Experience of Touch Drawing. And our guest speaker is Deborah Kauf-Chapin, and she is very well known for her touch drawing work internationally, and it's truly an honor to have her here today. Let's talk a little bit about touch drawing in case you don't know what it is or you're not familiar with the process. It's a simple yet profound process, and through the touch of fingertips on paper that's been placed over paint, images are formed on the backside. Deborah will help you have a sense of this direct form of expression through an imaginal experience of doing it yourself. She will convey the power of this process to access and express what cannot be verbalized. Deborah will offer examples of how touch drawing is being used to inspire creative expression in a great range of settings, in creativity workshops, in therapeutic settings, with cancer, stroke, Parkinson's patients, in wellness retreats for hospital staff and caregivers, in grief work, sexual abuse, and as a soul art form. So let me tell you a little bit about Deborah. She has a BFA from Cooper Union and is an artist, vocalist, author, and facilitator of creative expression. She's been developing the process of touch drawing since she discovered it in revelatory play in 1974. She's the creator of Soul Cards 1 and 2 and the author of Drawing Out Your Soul and Touch Drawing Facilitator Workbook. She's produced a DVD, audio CD, slideshows, e-newsletter, and an online community to support the dissemination of touch drawing worldwide. And if you've not seen images of touch drawing, I encourage you to do so. There is a link, and you can go while you're listening, too, to touchdrawing.com. And the images are just these beautiful manifestations of your soul's expression, just glorious to visually look at them. Now, Deborah is an adjunct professor at California Institute of Integral Studies. She's on the faculty of Omega and Elysian Institutes, and she's presented at many programs and conferences, including Naropa Institute, JFK School of Arts and Consciousness, International Expressive Arts Therapy Association, the American Art Therapy Association, the Association for Humanistic Psychology. And she served on the board of the International Expressive Arts Therapy Association for 4 years. Deborah's workshops, interpretive touch drawings, have been integrated into executive and management retreats for hospitals and health systems. She's been an interpretive artist at numerous conferences, including Engaging the Other, Sacred Activism, Sacred in the Arts, and Seeds of Compassion with Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Deborah's artwork and essays have been published in numerous magazines and journals and books. She's the founding director of the Center for Touch Drawing, and she's convened the annual Touch Drawing Gathering since 1997 and lives with her husband in an island in Puget Sound, Washington. And we welcome Deborah.
Hi, it's great to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me, Laura. And it's wonderful to sense what a great community of people that you've collected for this conference who really care passionately about the subject of creative expression and healing and therapy and how it all weaves together in so many connected but unique different ways.
Yeah, we've had such a response from this community, and the feedback we've been getting thus far from our conference presentations. Everybody is excited about the information. There are individuals who are in other parts of the country who cannot access this information, you know, other parts of the world. And so they're just so excited about the generous information that people have been sharing. And I would love to dialogue today about touch drawing. For those who are not familiar with your process, I'm sure they'd like to hear more about what that entails.
Yes, and I think I'm going to start by helping you feel what the process is. It's the simplest process in the world when you see it done. When you hear it described, it can sound a little complicated, all these different steps. So if you can take a moment, everybody who's listening, and imagine into this experience, you might like to even close your eyes. You might like to clear a place in front of you if you're at a table. And we're going to pretend you're doing a touch drawing here. I'm clearing my table here as well.
Me too, moving all my papers.
Right. So you're sitting at a table. You could sit at the floor. You know, there's a lot of different ways to set up. Some people like to stand. But basically, you have a piece of smooth plastic in front of you. And we can get into the details about the types of material specifically, but let's not worry about that right now. Let's just have the experience imaginally. There's a smooth surface in front of you, like a board, and you have a tube of paint. You've got a few colors. This is water mixable oil paint. You choose one color. Imagine yourself picking up a color, maybe imagine what color it might be, and putting some dabs of it around on this this board. Just take the little cover off the tube and put the dabs down. And then you pick up a roller. It's called a printmaking brayer, but a simpler word is a roller that you have at your table also. And you just roll all that paint smooth. And it's a really nice meditative process just to even roll the paint. You're kind of hearing the sound of the squishiness and covering the whole surface of the board. Now, one thing to be clear about here, the one technical thing that really makes a difference is not to put too much paint on. It's just a very thin layer of paint. So imagine that color covering the whole board. And now sitting on the side of the table is a big stack of very lightweight tissue paper. You might have 40 sheets sitting there. Pick one up and feel it kind of float through the air and lay it down on top of the paint. And if you haven't put too much paint on, it's just sitting there on top of the paint. And now, so you have a surface of paint and the paper on top. And now just close your eyes for a moment and empty your breath and just become aware of how you feel inside of your body. And whenever you feel it, take your hands, your fingertips, your fingernails, and move them on the paper. It may be two hands at the same time. The first drawing you do, just freely touch the paper with all the different parts of your hands, your fingernails, and move your hands like you're doing a dance on the paper. Just enough to make a statement on this one sheet of paper. You don't need to overwork it. And whenever you've done that movement, you take the corner of the paper, you pull it up off the board, and you see that every movement of your fingertips and every touch of your fingernails has been transferred onto the back of the paper because it touched the paint.
Beautiful. I've never done a virtual art before. That was fabulous.
Now, if you can imagine how that was just one drawing and it took maybe a few seconds and you have a stack of 40 sheets of paper here, this is what makes the process unique. There's a few qualities. I mean, there's similar things in all the creative processes, and I've been listening this week and I'm listening to many presenters and going, oh, yes, I relate to this. I relate to that. And then there's very specific qualities that different art forms can bring out. And what's powerful about touch drawing is this speed. So that instead of saying, okay, that's my drawing, now I'm going to study my drawing, or now I'm going to write about my drawing, or now we're going to talk about my drawing, you lay this aside and you roll your paint smooth. Let's go back into that space one more time. You roll the paint smooth, because there are all these little marks on it from the, you know, where it picked up on the preceding drawing. And you have that wonderful moment of rolling the board smooth again, and you're coming back to the present, and there's no traces of the past anymore on your board. And then you pick up another sheet of paper, and you lay it down. And this time, I'm going to make a suggestion, and I use I call them suggestions because I never require anyone to do the things. I'm giving possibilities of ways to enter the process. So let's just imaginally to have a sense of how we can be extremely free with just movement like a dance in touch drawing, but you can also form images. And you can really transfer a sense of your body, your inner body, out onto the paper. So just to keep it really simple right now, let's go bring our attention into our faces. How do you feel your face right now? And it's very different from what it looks like in the mirror. It's a sensory experience of your face. Do you feel tension in some places? Do you feel energy or tingling? Everybody has a different way of sensing. So you're feeling your face, and where your two hands now can move on the board as if your face is almost coming out through your fingertips. So maybe right now I feel my forehead, so I'm going to trace the energy I feel in my forehead. And on this first one, let's keep our eyes closed so you're not worrying about what it looks like. Later on, you can have your eyes open, and this is very thin paper so that you can actually see what you're doing. But when you're just getting into the process to establish that sense of drawing from inner sensation, how do you feel your eyes? And each hand moves as if it's translating the sense of your eyes, your cheeks, your nose, your mouth. You're almost like you're touching a face, but it's coming from inside. And maybe there's energy around, and maybe it's a chakra. I mean, there's an enormous range of the depth and levels that you can go to with this process. And then when you feel complete with that, again, you take the corner of the paper, you pull it up, and on the other side, the paint is picked up where you've touched. You lay it on top of the previous drawing. Don't think about it much. Barely look at it. And you get back to your drawing board and you roll it smooth. And again, that's a wonderful moment of erasing the past and coming back to how you feel in the present, and then picking up another sheet of paper. And maybe on this one, let's try one more thing, imaginally. Just do a little gesture on the page. Just let your hand do a movement, but don't cover the page with it. And this will be completely unique to each person. And then it might be hard to imagine into this because you're not actually seeing it, but on this tissue paper, this gesture, just like gazing at clouds, there's, I call it cloud drawing. It's a very universal kind of process where you look and you see things. Sometimes when people are looking at rocks, they see faces in rocks or images. Let's look at this little gesture on the page, and if you see something in it, finish that drawing. You can open your eyes now and let that just be the beginning of a drawing of anything that comes to mind, anything that comes into your imagination as you're gazing at the little gesture or texture or pattern on the paper. And you're touching with fingernails. This you can do with one hand. You're touching with fingernails to make lines. And even if your fingernails are really short, if you tip them over, that's just the edge of where your fingernail is, you can create a line. And then when you're touching with your fingertips, you've got all, even with when you're drawing with one hand, you've got five fingers, you've got palms. Just feel into touching the surface. Don't even worry about what you're drawing now. Just touching with all different parts of your hand and in a way that expresses what you feel right now. And whatever you've just done on this imaginal page, don't even worry about what it looks like, because there's another one coming. You pull it off, and then you go on to the next. And I think we can come back to talking about the process.
How delightful. You know, there's a, you talk about mindfulness and being in the now and bringing that consciousness to the present moment and whatever it is, just having an awareness without judgment. It truly is in action. You're creating that reminder of being in the now, just by being in the now. Beautiful process.
Yeah, it's a very, so it's really a meditative process, a therapeutic process, and a creative process. And all, I think all creative processes have those elements. But I like to speak about it on all those levels, because it's very, that's the power of creativity, and that's why we are here in this conference, because I imagine everybody who's had some experience knows that it's, they can work with their emotions, but they can also, that leads to your soul and your spirit. And what is creativity about? But expression of the human soul. So it's a very, and you feel healed when you contact that. That's the healing power of the arts. That in our culture, we grew up with this very performance-oriented sense of art and only do it if you can achieve successfully and professionally, and otherwise it's not worth doing. Many of us got that message in many different ways, and we just stopped expressing ourselves, and I think that's one of the reasons we're in an unhealthy culture, because people have gotten out of touch with their own soul.
And it's interesting, because there was a person on the in the association who had actually talked about working with you and how she was holding herself back in the sense that she felt that she couldn't produce something. She was so focused on the product. And I think even those of us that are, you know, artistic types and embrace creativity, there's a lot of emphasis on what does this look like, and even the analyzing piece, even when we're trying not to analyze it, that it pops up. But she was talking about that liberating feeling of just being in the process and honoring that process, and how she worked with you in that way that just opened up these blocks and to you know, just let it flow, and the inner critic would come up, or when parts of ourselves would, you know, come up and try to analyze or judge or censor, just to release and come back to that mindful process of just being in this creative moment.
Yes, and one of the things I suggest people try when that inner critic comes up, because we can pretty much guarantee it will, is to first of all know that it's not just you. You're not the only person that has the inner critic. Mm-hmm. and try drawing it. Pay attention to that. Can you draw the inner critic? So it might turn into a little character of what your inner critic looks like, and then later on you could explore your relationship with that inner critic, or it might be the feeling that the inner critic gives you inside of yourself. So what I recommend to people is that no matter what comes up, if you say yes to that, instead of sort of pushing it away, you just draw it, then it gets quiet. You know, you've given it its space, and it's not such a big deal anymore. It loses the power. And it just becomes one more drawing in the whole process. Oh, yes, that was the inner critic. That was that drawing. And then you move on to the next one. And when you sit and do this, if you can imagine, we imaginally did three drawings. If you did this for an hour, nonstop, sometimes you work faster, sometimes you work slower. You know, no one is telling you how many drawings to do, but you would do a pile of drawings. I mean, it could be anywhere from 10 to 40 drawings in one sitting. And so I think that quantity factor of touch drawing is one of the liberating elements, that it's okay to do one that's not the perfect drawing, and that starts freeing people up. Another thing I suggest people do is just scratch a paper to the point where it tears. That's okay. So sometimes it's pure emotional release, and it helps you not be attached to making a picture every time, but you know there's this room and this possibility for more to happen than that one thing that you're getting stuck on, and that seems to be very liberating. And then at the end, you can read, you can go back to your series of drawings, you flip them over, you go back to the first one, and you have a record of your whole process, your whole journey of your psyche. And you begin to recognize more clearly that part of us is always changing. It's always fluid. You watch this inner transformation happening in the series of drawings, and it's externalized. Your subtle inner nonverbal process is externalized, and then you can reflect on it. You can write. Very often I have people go back into the drawings and from first to last, just see what word or phrase, the simplest writing exercise would be to let a word or phrase for every drawing come up. I mean, you might write it on the drawing, on the bottom, like a little title, or you might write it on a separate sheet of paper, and then put them all together in order. And sometimes it tells a whole story, or it becomes a poem, the titles from the series of drawings in order can give you a verbal version of your drawings and of your image journey. And then that can help you bring the verbal and conscious mind into the process. But that you work on later after you've really immersed yourself in this nonverbal feeling and somatic experience of doing the drawings.
Beautiful. And, you know, the way that you describe it, and again, it's one of those things where you go to the source to learn the technique, because I've been witness to other people teaching it, and I would guess that they're probably not facilitators, and I've actually been in a national conference where, you know, they were exploring this technique, and they did not offer the stack of paper back to back to back, so it was more like a few, and so what would happen is people would get their, you know, do their touch drawing, they would have this experience, and a lot of people would be talking, and, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be a sacred space, but more of a, you know, like, let's see what we're creating. And then there would be the pull-up and the sense of comparison, like, what did you do versus what did I do? And the energy was very outward. Does that make sense?
Yes, versus, I do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, versus, but, I know. Well, this is a beautiful example of go to the source. You know, go to the source to learn the process so that you can see. And when I did this process in a group, it felt out of alignment. And yet when I kept going back to your work, looking at how you offered, you know, the work that you do, it was like, this is, you know, this is what I'm drawn to, that sacredness, that that soul connection. And, you know, and I guess in the group, when you do set up a group, and there's certain dynamics that need to be respected. But as you describe the process, it's so much more fluid and accepting and just, you know, moving and without judgment and coming back to you and coming back to what's being created without that censoring.
Right. And this is, you know, it's one of the challenges I work with in feeling like the process wants to go out and be spread very broadly. And it's just a delicate path to walk because, for all you know, one person there might have had a really meaningful experience even in that setting. I try to really hold the center and also be open, knowing that in some settings it may not be as deep, as long as we keep the depth of the center happening. But I do encourage people to share the process, but I encourage them to, I have information and materials that I make available to people, and I think I do make it very, very clear in that information. I have a facilitator workbook, and everything about the mood that I'm presenting when I talk to you here, I think, is presented in the facilitator workbook. So people who do access, it's true, that's going to the source also, really access the source material, I think they do get that message, because in general, I hear when people are facilitating in a careful way, and they have powerful experiences, but they are bringing that sense of depth and respect to the process. But I don't expect people to all present it like a clone, you know, like exactly the way that I do it, because, and this is something we might get into a little bit later in the conversation more, because I know that people have specialty areas, and if you're presenting it within your specialty training, you know how to customize it so it works in your setting. There may be some settings where you need to be a little looser about, you know, the mood and the atmosphere, and it can still be a very opening experience. So it's this delicate dance back and forth between the two poles of the greatest depth and a real openness, so this very simple, accessible process can get out there and be discovered and experienced by people in so many different ways.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, we have a question coming from someone in Florida who says, once you or a client has done the touch drawing through the series process once or several times, do you always do them in the same multi-picture way, or do you sometimes do just one?
Well, that is coming to a very similar question that you're asking.
Yeah.
In general, I would say the power comes when you do the multiple drawings, because you have the opportunity to get beyond that first experience. But I'll tell you, like I'm saying, there is no absolute rules. I'll give an example of where I really learned about even a single drawing when it's held with that deep space, even in an environment that's not supportive. I have some wonderful colleagues who were involved with the International Expressive Arts Therapy Association, and we had a table last summer at the conference, and this was like an educational fair. And we had the Center for Touch Drawing there, and we thought we would help people just experience touch drawing by demonstrating it and letting them try one drawing. So there are certain settings where I'll even, you know, do that, but I say this is just a taste to give, you know, a feeling for what the process can be, the potential of it. I make that clear. But I came in a little late, and Shamaya Blauer and Mukti Khanna were there at the table, and in this noisy, crowded room, and they were helping people do touch drawing, and they were saying, now, go into yourself. And I was watching people do a single drawing in a crowded room, and they were giving them little prompts to really listen within. Even in that setting with a single drawing, people were having a powerful experience. Mm-hmm. So I think it does come back to the intention of the and the sense of the process from the person who is facilitating, that holds a kind of space for people to go more deeply with it. And we're making clear when we're demonstrating it in that way that you are not tapping the potential of the process here. Maybe you're getting a sense of what you could do, mm-hmm. but this is just an entry point.
And other ways that you can integrate touch drawing and you know, as far as different settings or how it's used so that people can start to see the possibilities if they want to integrate this work into their
practice. Right. So, like I said, I present the process to people who have specialty areas. So I can give you some examples. There are people who use it in cancer support groups. So imagine when you have, or grief groups, there is a book that actually includes touch drawing, The Art of Grief. When people are going through any kind of powerful life transition or challenge, to give them the space to express themselves creatively is very powerful. So any people who work in any kind of emotional support group setting, it is very powerful in a group setting. Someone in one of the presentations was talking about how she works mainly in groups. It certainly can be done one-on-one as well. I won't focus on that at this moment. It can be used with people who have limited use of their hands. So because you don't, so this is a whole area that's very powerful. Older people who have arthritis, people who have Parkinson's, actually in Florida, through the Expressive Arts Florida, they've had programs with Parkinson's patients and their caregivers. So they go into two different rooms, and the caregivers have their own experience of touch drawing for self-care for caregivers, and that becomes like a support group for the caregivers. All the stress they have, now here's your time to look at your feelings and express yourself and take care of yourself. So they have used the touch drawing for caregivers in that way. And at the same time, there's another group doing touch drawing with the people who have Parkinson's. People with Parkinson's, they may not be able to handle a tool. Anyone like with arthritis or Parkinson's or healing from a stroke who can't hold a tool can have much more facility with their hands in touch drawing. You don't need the tool holding skill to move your hands on the paper. And the people with Parkinson's have found incredible creative inspiration. And I think there are studies about Parkinson's and dopamine and creativity and how that actually they have less tremors after they're involved with the creative process. So very, very powerful in those kinds of settings, all the rehab settings where people are learning to use their hands again. Let's see. So what I do is I try to collect stories. I'm not a researcher, and I'm not a clinically oriented person. But my background is as an artist. So this is already a stretch for me. But I really, really encourage people to let me know what they're doing so I can share these examples. So here's another story of a woman who, with autism, I've heard about touch drawing and autism practically miraculous. And I really want some people to be doing research and to get more substantial information. Two quick examples with autism. There was a woman who, in Chile, actually, who went to do touch drawing, and she didn't even realize how intense the situation she was going into was with mental handicaps. But she rose to the task, and there was one severely autistic young adult there who they said never took part in anything. He would stay with headphones on and against the wall with his little radio. Right. He got interested. He came over, and he began touch drawing. And at the end of this class, and his mother was there, they have him smiling and holding a drawing up. And some of these stories you can find, many of these stories you can find on my website. I'll talk a little more about that later. And then there's someone else who I know who did touch drawing with me at a workshop, and she's an art therapist, and I'm really prodding at her to write this up because her child she didn't at the time use the word autism. She spoke more generally and symptomatically, but when we spoke a couple of years later, I think if I recall right, she said, yes, he would be considered autism. She went back home and started doing touch drawing with her son daily for a year. And she said, you would not believe he is a different person. He is like a normal child here. Now, I can't say that I've done studies to say that touch drawing will. I have anecdotes. And this is where I actually need people to take on these different applications and to give them more credibility in their specific fields. But I do the best I can from this center place to hold the depth and really encourage people to run with it. And more than, you know, to hear this experience you had, I might know what you're talking about, and I don't encourage those kinds of settings. I encourage people to really do it in their professional setting and not in a sort of a quick demo experience, it playful setting where it might not come across with the potential. Because more than anything, I hear these amazing stories when people are facilitating and bringing their own expertise and care to the process.
Well, and it's evident as you look at, you know, the examples on your website that this is not only a creative process, but also there's a spiritual aspect to it. You know, it's obviously therapeutic, but there's this whole, you know, linking to the soul. Can you talk a little bit about that and how it interacts between the relationship of therapeutic, creative, and spiritual?
Sure. It's really core. We tend to think in such a categorizing way. Something's creative, something is spiritual, something is therapeutic. And that's why I use the word integral here. It's an integral process, and I think many creative processes are, actually, when they're done in the spirit. When we contact the depth of who we are as beings, that's our spiritual source. When we contact our spiritual source, we get in touch with our creative source, and that is healing. When we contact our wholeness and who we truly are, we access healing. So that's healing and therapy, that's art, and that's spirituality. It's going deeper into the core of who we are. And I think that might be why I emphasize when people do touch drawing to focus inwardly. And in the setting that is so superficial, like, oh, let me just see what it's like. My hands are moving on the paper and I'm making a picture. How fun. You know, that's not a bad thing. You're just not experiencing the potential of the process. When you focus inwardly, how do I sense myself right now? That is a portal to your inner being. So you start with physical sensations, but if you stay with this process, you're moving to more and more subtle levels of your being. How do I feel right now in my physical body? My physical body isn't truly separate from my soul either. So the physical body is our access point to our soul, really. This is the way we're experiencing, you know, being in the universe right now. So it's our soul taking form. It's not separate. So when we access our physical body, but we go deeper and deeper into it, we get more and more subtle. And as we get more subtle, we're contacting what we would identify as the more spiritual levels of ourselves. But I try not to even talk in such separative terms about that.
And then it makes, you know, it kind of like, aha, well, of course, then, you know, an individual who is suffering from an illness or a child who's impacted by, or adult who's impacted by, you know, a neurological disorder or autism, you know, that ability to communicate aspects of themselves, the parts that are hidden that may, you know, may not even be accessible through language or through other ways can come forward through this process. And that makes, you know, exciting implications of, oh, how this could be used.
Absolutely. It's through touch. Because touch is such a powerful sense, because you're not grasping a tool. I think that's, and so there's the speed with the multiple drawings. You're not getting stuck in one. And then the open hand rather than the grasped hand, I think it really makes, and the sense of touch. You're not only pushing out, you're feeling and sensing as you draw. And I think with this woman with her son, there was something about enabling him to touch the world in this careful, safe place of touch drawing that helped him make contact with this world. And again, I'm going to send her an email today and say, you need to write this up, because she has said she will. But the ungrasped hand, I think neurologically, is a very different access point than the holding of the tool. That's where it's, you know, in an evolutionary way, as an art process, when I first came upon this process, it was not just like, oh, this is a sort of a nice trick, you know, a way to make pictures. For me, the experience of doing it the first time was so dramatic that I knew there was something different going on here. I'd been an artist and, you know, drawn my whole life and went through art school. And it was my last day of my last year in art school. So I do think also there was some harmony in the universe here around the timing of this happening. Like I had a contract to bring this process. But I was just being playful. That's what you said when you were reading my bio. It said she discovered it in revelatory play. Mm-hmm. That's the language I could find around it, because I was just helping a friend in the print shop where they have ink rolled out onto pieces of glass. They have those rollers. And he asked me to clean up this piece of glass that had ink on it. And in the moments, I picked up a paper towel and I put it down on that piece of ink. And in the moments before I started wiping, I just thought I would play. And to be really, really specific, a few years before that, someone had shown me that you can draw on a piece of paper over one of those ink sheets. And when you pick it up, that drawing is on the other side as well. I thought, oh, let me try that. And I didn't have a pencil on hand, so I just thought, I'll just use my fingers. And I moved my fingers on the back of this paper towel. And so it wasn't like a pencil. It wasn't just this one line. It wasn't a picture. It was my living hand moving on the paper towel. I put my two hands down, actually, the first time, because it was just the most natural thing. And I picked up this paper towel, and I saw these living, vibrant lines that were more like true nature coming directly out of my body and onto the paper. And it wasn't just what I saw when I looked at it. I mean, there was a recognition that there was a very different quality in the drawing lines than I had had in all my years of art school. But it was also the feeling energetically that came into me when I did it. Something got unplugged. And as my fingers opened and my two hands were on the paper, a bigger energy field just started coming right through my body and out onto the paper. I got plugged into a bigger circuitry. And it was like being blasted open. And I started laughing hysterically, actually, and picking up more paper towels and putting them on the paper and just doing these little squiggles. This is 4 years of art school. You know, what's happening to serious Deborah, the abstract painter? She's laughing hysterically and crawling around on the floor, picking up paper towels. But so it was very, it was like pure childlike play. And then I started seeing that I could draw these funny little faces. So it became, first it was just energy and movement, and then it was image. I can actually create images, but they're feeling so alive, just right out of the moment. And in this playful, joyful experience, I also had a recognition, a knowing that this wasn't just for me. I mean, the art world was all about find your little signature thing, you know, that everyone knows you by, and then you do it. This was the opposite feeling, like this is for humanity. Whoa, this is a creative process for humanity to do sometime in the future. And it was a very expansive sense of time, like deep cave paintings with hands on the cave wall. So it was a deep sense of humanity and our expressing ourselves visually in the arc of our evolution, that this was a new way coming in. And I didn't have the language for it, but that is the language I can find afterwards that describes the feeling I had in those moments that I was laughing hysterically, looking like I was just flipping out and doing drawings. So I just knew it was like getting a calling, you know, oh, you have to share this with people. And that was, you know, I had no idea what I was getting into. I had no idea that it would mean actually sitting at a desk, creating educational material, lugging materials all over the world, you know, all the endless outworkings of manifesting something in the world. But it's that moment that really drives everything that I do.
And what a powerful, you know, description of that playful moment. And I think I work with kids, and you know, these kids who are often very gifted, and you know, they're in an advanced educational program, and they, you know, there's a lot of pressure for perfectionism and performance and expertise. And they come in and they play with these paints in their hands, you know, and intuitively are just drawn. I mean, no kids are drawn to just that finger paint playing and, you know, folding the paper. And I watch them, as you said, that kind of unwind and plug into something bigger. Like they open a part of themselves that's been shut off for so long.
Yes.
And they plug into that collective, you know, unconsciousness of being a child and being accessible to the possibilities and just being in that moment and joyously celebrating it. And there's so much to learn from that process of just being without all of the, you know, preconceived ideas and thoughts and, you know, product orientation and being in that process of being plugged in. What a beautiful description.
And that's what all of us who are involved with the creative art therapies, expressive arts therapies, we're actually helping people access creative expression again. It's like a secret art movement as well of bringing soulful art back into our culture. It's a movement that has not been acknowledged at that level. We're allowing people to open up to their creativity. And we look at all the incredible, you know, presentations and stories that have happened this week and think of all the thousands of people who are out there working in their different art form, helping people do music in a deeper way, helping people do theater, helping people write, helping people do cross modalities, intermodalities of look at what is quietly happening, not quite acknowledged in our culture. We're actually opening to our souls and our creativity, and that's there's definitely the sort of therapeutic, psychotherapeutic focus that's very specific, that has its absolute valid place with using the creative arts therapies, but there's a much, much broader base of possibility of where all of these modalities can go as well. And I think people are just starving for this. And the range of possibilities, there was someone in my class at California Institute of Integral Studies this spring who says, well, gee, I'm doing my internship with homeless people. I could bring this to homeless people, couldn't I? And I said, yes, you can. You know, in that setting, maybe just 5 minutes of drawing could be powerful for that person. You know, they can't set up a big studio, but you could let them draw on the street. You know, that's what I mean by, you know, being very flexible and, you know, bringing it right into your specialty area in the appropriate way. The endless range of possibilities. Everybody here who's listening, presenters and, you know, attendees, in some way, shape, or form, you have experienced the power of helping people access the creative source and creative expression. And then you can think into the ways that that could spread even further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the power of this conference. We're helping to spread it a little bit more.
One of the listeners wrote in from Montreal that not a question per se, but just a resource, and she says she loves this and how wonderful to have discovered a medium and such an accessible and profound one. And she said that she happened upon a presentation that she thought you would enjoy, a dancer, Ananda Shankar, who used her process. Used to process throughout her recovery from serious illness, and her talk introduces her dance, in which she does sort of a touch drawing with her feet through dance.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? So if you want to find that, it's TED.com, and then there's a link, but it, Ananda Shankar. I think that's fascinating that, the access, again, of a medium and being able to use that expression, but to use your body versus, you know, a utensil, which, of course, then moves you away from the process of really feeling and I don't know, what's the word that I'm looking for, like integrating that experience
yeah.
into who you are and outward expression onto the paper.
So it is, you know, it's related in certain ways to dance, and it's also related, the closest of the visual art forms would be clay.
Mm.
Yeah. But it, with the power of doing it in touch drawing is you actually get to witness your process because you've left this record. Say if you work with clay and you go through a whole process and you get angry and you mush it down and then you reform it and you feel open and some wonderful thing happens and then you work on it and then maybe it turns into something else, you know, that whole progression of transformation is actually laid out right before you in the drawings. And so then the wonderful things you can do with intermodal processes, with expressive arts processes, would be to then, as I suggested, maybe write from your drawings, or you may want to go and move from your drawings. Take look at a drawing and really take it in to your back into your body and then move the feeling of that drawing and see where it goes. And then maybe you go and you draw again. So that's, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about also was the creative arts therapies as specific, you know, practices of just art, just music, just dance, but the power when you can weave them back and forth and how one can help enrich the other. And so I always recommend when people do touch drawing, even though it is a visual art form and it's very specific that way, that it's very enriching to work with your drawings or, say, before you draw, to do some movement. To weave other modalities into the experience helps people open up and it just enriches the whole experience.
Beautiful. So I'm curious, is there ways that you give examples in the guides, the facilitated guides that you offer?
Yes.
Okay.
So
yeah.
We can get to resources now because it's probably
Please.
Getting late. My website is a very rich resource. You can access everything that I'm talking about on the website, which is www.touchdrawing.com. Just the word touch, no space, drawing.com. And it's such a rich resource that I think that very often people don't find, you know, some of the important things. But I have a products page where I have educational media, and there's a little book, Drawing Out Your Soul. There's an audio CD, which is one version of my workshop. So you can get materials, put on the audio CD, and I guide you into the process. So it's a wonderful way to start if you're trying to do it on your own with that more inward orientation. And I hold the space while people draw with music. I am also a vocalist. So it's a heartbeat drum. There were other presenters talking about the power of rhythm. And I often hold the space with drumming and then go into an arrhythmic kind of music later in the session. So, and I have a DVD which has a demonstration. The website itself has a basic video demonstration of me doing a touch drawing, so you can see it. It's not like a talking demo. It's just music and doing a touch drawing in my studio. And I also have materials kits, so people can just get the kits and just get started. And the most helpful resource is for people who want to do it with others, is the Touch Drawing Facilitator Workbook. And in that workbook, I just went into every little detail I could ever think of about setting up the space, the kind of materials you need, ways of working with drawings, all of those, you know, ideas about writing or settings you can draw in. And then there's a whole section in the facilitator workbook written by other people who have been facilitating touch drawing with some of their ideas and enriching ideas about how to present touch drawing. And that book, every year or so I add something new to it. So once you get it, if you keep me up to date with your email address, we'll send you a download about some new enriching idea about how to work with touch drawing. And we keep you more posted when you purchase the workbook. The other very helpful resource I have is an online community. So this
is different, by the way.
It's different from Facebook. It's a private community. It's open for people to see, but you can only write in it when you join. And I watch very carefully about who joins. So, you know, there's no one who wants to abuse or market or anything who gets away with being on that site more than a few hours. So the sincerity of people who join that community is so wonderful because they have experienced touch drawing in some way, and we have special interest groups there. We could get people being more active, and I think now people are starting, you know, our kind of creative people are starting to get a little more comfortable with the social media, because I have one special interest group in there just for art therapists to talk to each other about how you are applying touch drawing in your art therapy practice. We've got a specialty group on people who working with in hospitals with touch drawing. We have specialty groups of touch drawing and grief work. So you join the community, and then you can go searching in the groups and find other people who are interested in your specific area of expertise. So this is a way that people can find each other without me being an intermediary. And also we've got forums and conversations, and I'm always available, as all the other presenters have said, to answer questions. I particularly like to do it within the community rather than a private email, because then other people can see the answers if it's in a specific subject area. But I am always available to serve people who want to facilitate touch drawing.
Now, a question for you, because I've been on the community, and it's beautiful, and you know, it's very welcoming and easy to navigate, and it's very similar to the association setup. So if you're a member of the International Association for Therapists in Private Practice, which is part of the VIP listeners, it's a similar setup. So if you've joined my community, it'll be the same technological setup, but you don't have to learn anything new. It's very easy to access. But for those who are interested in joining your community, do they go through your website to do so?
Yes.
Or what's the best way
yes.
to do so?
Everything is accessed through www.touchdrawing.com. You'll see community right there.
Okay.
And another thing that's very helpful on the website, if you look at there's stories and uses, or there's other places you can find it. I make a lot of different access points for things, is the stories of how people are using touch drawing. That could be very enlightening to get you kind of brainstorming in yourself about reading all these other ways that people have been using touch drawing, and that might spark your own thinking of how you can apply the process.
Beautiful. And you are so generous. Are there the handouts? Again, you know, you can download them, and one is how to do touch drawing, and the other one's about touch drawing. But I encourage you, if you're listening to this and you're participating, to actually go to Deborah's site, and if you want to use this with yourself to purchase the audio CD, or if you want to use it with others, please go to the source. As I said, from my experience in being an art therapist, I could understand how this information was being shared, and it wasn't really congruent with the way that Deborah teaches it. And if you're going to be bringing this out into the world and you want to use it, access the workbook as a facilitator so you're doing it aligned with the way that Deborah has birthed it into being, so that it's coming with integrity and it's coming in that same alignment of really helping people to access their inward emotions, and I encourage you to do that to respect the integrity of the work.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean,
and, you know,
so
I trust people, in general, people have a really sincere feeling, and when you come with that and you just really take to pay attention to the material and then customize it with your expertise, it's way more positive outcomes than negative around the process. But yes, that holding for the depth potential and the inward expression is probably the core element to keep as a part of the process. because that's where its value, its true value is.
Beautiful. This conversation was so delightful. We talked about the presentation and dancing in the moment, and I feel like we just showed up expressing our light, and I hope that everybody who was on the call just could feel the shine from Deborah today. You are truly just a gift in sharing what it is you do with us so generously, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Laura. You've put an incredible conference together. I've been inspired by listening to the other presentations, and we're helping to weave deep creative expression back into the world.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the call. And for everyone who's listening, we do have the final call that will be coming up in just 2 hours, and that's 2 o'clock Eastern time. And that will be my final presentation on the 5 mistakes therapists make when they're building their private practice. It's been an honor and delight to have you, Deborah, on the call. And thank you for all of those who are listening in to the first annual International Creative Arts Therapies teleconference. Take care.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.